Don't get too comfortable. Pull out your bulletin. You're going to need it. You get some speaking parts. If you'll turn to that first page on the inside, go to where it says Christmas wreath shines, all right? And then that first dark bold print that the congregation got to say, it begins, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light no darkness can overcome, right? You got it? Okay, those are the words you're going to say. But I want you to say it as if you are as excited as if you're watching snails race. You got that imagery?
Okay.
You know? I would say like Lutherans on a Sunday morning who didn't have coffee, but that would have been cruel. So I want you to say it as if you were watching a snail's race. All right? So in a sort of way, slow and droll and bored together, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. No darkness can overcome it. I didn't even read it right. It is that exciting. What has that got to do with Christmas? Well, I hope to answer that question before we get done here. Do you know there are words in the Bible that are only used once? Sometimes they're really difficult to translate. Sometimes they're difficult to understand what it is, but they're only used once. But there are words that we use in our culture today that are not in the Bible. And I don't mean all the naughty words. I'm talking the word like holiday. You cannot find the word happy holiday in the Bible. You won't find Merry Christmas in the Bible. But of all the holidays that get talked about, guess which is number one? Christmas. It's the number one talked about holiday in the United States on the American calendar. We talk about it in the sense of, I remember when, you know, my first Christmas here. Actually, I don't, but, you know, I remember when, recently I referred to the story about we were living in Germany and the baby of the family was born in my family, my littlest brother. I'll leave his name out so he's not Facebooked or something. But anyway, so my baby brother, we're doing a family picture. My oldest sister is holding him. Dad had the camera set on the tripod, the timer went, Dad sat down, and just as the flash bulb went off, my littlest brother totally soaked his diaper. It went all the way through on my oldest sister's Christmas dress. We remember the stories, don't we? The Christmas holiday stories. And they make us laugh. And then we remember the Christmas stories that weren't so great, that weren't funny at all. I was on a 747 jet landing in Chicago. We were the last jet to allow to land because of a winter snowstorm. It was the year of 1977, the blizzard of 77. And I was looking from my window seat. I'm looking down the wing, and I realized the jet I'm in is going down the runway wing first. Because we hit ice, and the plane turns, and we're going this way instead of with the cockpit. I did not laugh. We remember the stories when we heard the news of someone passing away during Christmas time. Those aren't great stories, but they're imprinted in our head. And if I asked you to tell the stories with some of the who, what, where, when, and hows, you could do that. And when family members get together, sometimes it's really embarrassing what they bring up, and sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's uplifting, sometimes it's encouraging. And sometimes, as my own daughters will say, it's as boring as picking cotton out of the furniture. Christmas is the most talked about holiday. And we've got it wrong. Because those stories are always about us. It's always about family. It's always about our memory. It's about our humor, our weird sense of humor, or even our bitterness, where the Christmas wasn't that great. It was the time you got a pink slip at work. The economy was tough. The stocks took a nosedive, and you wondered how you were gonna survive. But the conversations are about us. And when I ask those questions, or the teacher gives you that writing assignment about who, where, when, and what, and how, and why, and all of that stuff, we start thinking about us. So I want to give you some different words that help you think about what real Christmas is. Because Christmas isn't a holiday. Christmas is a person. It's your Lord and Savior. So the words are timeline, sequence, relationships, emotions. Those are to replace your who, what, where, when, why, and how. When we think about Christmas from God's perspective, God never said, you know, I think I'll create a holiday. What do you think, Gabriel? Michael? As if they could have a vote. If it was America in heaven, they would have a vote, right? But that's the way we perceive it. I think I'll create a holiday. We'll give them time off. And we'll create traditions and family traditions and cultural traditions. And yeah, each culture can have their own. That'd be okay. You know, and hopefully they'll get together and, you know, peace on earth. That'd be nice, you know. And God never does that in scriptures. Christmas was planned. The event was planned. The Son was planned. Our Savior was planned. The timeline was set before the world was created. And you think you got problems getting organized for December 25th. And getting all of your tasks and cards sent out or emails sent and everything else. God planned this timeline so long ago, you and I weren't even particles, atoms of history. And yet God knew us in his timeline. Isn't that phenomenal? Jesus, God's own Son, eternal, not made, begotten of the Father, right? Born of Mary. You know the words in the creeds. We get that. But Jesus never sat in the heavens and said to Gabriel, okay, we're going to do Christmas. Who remembered me last year? You know, who gave me an offering last year? Who gave me a gift last year? You know, I don't want to outdo them, you know. And if they snub me, phew, on them. I've had enough of that, right? Take them off the list. This is our holiday. That's the way we live it out. That's not God's event of Christmas. The timeline of Christmas is God's plan for our eternity, for our salvation. And so for hundreds of years, you had prophets, men, talking. Every now and then, God gave them a soundbite, if you will. And they would share that soundbite. And the people would forget that soundbite from generation to generation. And finally, there was no soundbites for 400 years before Jesus. And then Gabriel shows up to Mary in human time and says, "This is God's time. He has chosen you. He is going to favor you above all women for all of time. Because you're going to give birth to a boy." And even tells her his name. God's timeline is never vague. It's never unintentional. It's never chaotic. It's never disorganized. It's just a timeline that we often don't like because it's not instant. It's not for me. It's not my way. It's not now. And there's some things I don't want even. And we still get those. Today is about God's timeline and the sequence that He caused in history to unfold. That if you ever wondered if Jesus really was real, is it true? It's in all of this history of our planet. It's in the history of the existence of our solar system. When God said, "Let there be," He started the timeline. And then He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Mary was pregnant. And out in the fields, these angels show up to the shepherds. And this is part of God's timeline. That it would be announced to the people. And they would behold God Emmanuel, God with us, the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh. This is real time, real existence, real particles, real life, a real person. It's not a holiday in the manger. We never sing a Christmas carol saying, "Away in the holiday, you know, no room in the hotel." It's about the child, God's only begotten Son that He sent. So you have the word timeline, and you have the word sequence as it unfolds in history. And then you have this word, it's called relationship. Because it is, God is doing this for us. The most memorized Bible verse, you know, other than Jesus wept, because it's only two words and I can write those. But it's John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." It tells you right there that God established His timeline and He made these sequence, this history unfold, all because He desired and encouraged and built and established a relationship with humanity. And He wanted to do that in a way that was not broken. Because when He did it with the law, we kept breaking the law. And when He did it with His commandments, we kept ignoring those. And when He did it with words of wisdom, we walked the other way. But this was His only begotten Son, and He sent Him, our Savior, to do something that we couldn't do. To do something so that we would live instead of perish. You have timeline, you have sequence, you have relationship, and you have emotion. Not that God gets scatterbrained or flighty, but that God is love, the purity of it. And he so loved us, the messy ones, sinful by nature, smart aleck by personality, with all of our foibles, our weaknesses, and everything else that you can say about us that's not complimentary, but yet it's true, God established a relationship with us by taking what is ours and putting on the Son. Because when he goes to the cross, he's made sin for us. And we, and it's not a fair trade, we get his righteousness. We receive the gifts of God that are so remarkable that I understand that as kids, we want the Santa, we want the bicycle, we want the new iPhone, we want the latest computer, we want the Chevy, the Camaro. We want, you know, the Shelby Mustang. I had one in my garage for a few days. It was a 2008 Shelby Cobra Mustang. I refused to drive it. I was offered to drive it. I want to tell you why I did not drive it. I do not have the money to replace it if I wrecked it. It belonged to someone else. But we have this Christmas list gift, you know, that we want. The gifts. What do you want this year? And there are times, and we were talking about this earlier, we get a point in our life, that is if we're sane, you know, we get to a point in our life where we don't need anything. Our needs are taken care of. If we're financially stable, our needs are taken care of. But not everybody is that way. And there are lots of needs. That tornado recently in Tennessee and Kentucky created a whole lot more needs, didn't it? And a lot of people changed their Christmas list this year because they were so destitute. And everything was gone. But I want to come back to the list, the timeline, the sequence, the relationship, and the emotion. For into our world of brokenness and into the world where the things of this world fail us and into our world where we easily become discontent, envious, jealous, and bitter, resentful, and sometimes just depressed, into our world comes a Savior who gives us the light of life, the forgiveness of sins, the gift of salvation. The Bible doesn't have the word for us, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas. It has better ones. For unto you born this day in the city of David. You know these parts, don't you? Is Christ the Lord? And that's why the liturgy, when you have a phrase like this, okay, it's your part now, coming up, okay? That's why these words are not about the snail's race. It's about the life-giving, life-power, life-sustaining, eternal relationship that we have with God because Jesus stepped into our world, the world of our darkness of sin, and brought his light. This is Christmas. Our boat had sunk. Our sin was weighing us down. We no longer had the means to stay afloat. And into the darkness of our water comes the rescue, Jesus Christ. And we're pulled out of the depth of that sin. And we're given new breath and new life and new hope and new meaning and new purpose. Now read these words as if that has happened to you. Together, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. That is Christmas. He is Christmas. Christmas is not an event for one day. It is not a historical event that has no significance. It is not simply a memory from people from days of old, and you get to hear about their storytelling. This is something that has changed generation to generation, life to life, person to person, as we have shared the faith and told of the wondrous things that God has done. If you want to really tell the most powerful, the greatest Christmas story in your Christmas events, make it Jesus. And to help you, remember the words timeline, sequence. What's the other one? Relationship and emotion. And as always, always, to God be the glory. Amen.